more renewable hosting is like a huge change that you can make, and that's going to have the biggest impact.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. Now, I say this occasionally because it gives us so much, it gets us all so excited when we get to see one of these, which is when you, the lovely listeners, rave about this show on social or in lists or in blogs and we find out about it. We love it. Me and the team really love it. So it's only fair to give a lovely little shout out to the person who was kind enough to shout about us. So this one's a Twitter one. So init_store tweeted about us saying, "The best e-com podcast, in my opinion. My business has grown hugely from all the tips and really just listening to everything." Thank you, Init Store. We really appreciate you sharing that on social. And most importantly, thank you so much for listening to us. In this episode, we are catching up with Hugo from Canopy. A couple of years ago, we had Hugo and his co-founder, Thomas, on the show talking about the sustainable product marketplace they're building. It's now live. They've learned a lot in the last 2 years, and Hugo's back to share that with us. We will be talking about why they decided to go headless. Yes, headless. Why they have taken their verification process and turned it into a whole kite mark for their vendors. We're talking about how they are helping their customers balance cost of living versus becoming more sustainable. We'll also be delving into how to use that sustainability message to encourage people to buy. It's always fascinating catching up with any of the Canopy team, and this one is a very fascinating chat. Plus, there are some fantastic top tips, so make sure you listen to the end to catch that. Quick disclaimer though, I am a silent low-level investor in Canopy, so I thought you ought to know that up front. No favouritism being, well, there is favouritism because they're awesome, but no investor-led favouritism being bought into them as a guest. You're going to love this. Great top tips at the end, plus my take on it all. So make sure you listen right to the end. Shopify recently turned the tables on me and took me from interviewer to interviewee, knowing as they do that the most successful retailers today are those that bridge the gap between online and offline and make it a seamless experience. Shopify wanted my thoughts on how to achieve truly connected commerce, particularly in the key areas of local selling, omnichannel selling, and cross-border selling. You can read my thoughts along with other commerce experts from Germany, France, Spain, and Italy by visiting ecmp.info/Shopify and downloading the report. That's ecmp.info/Shopify. And now to introduce our special guest. Hugo Douglas-Dean is the co-founder and CMO of sustainable marketplace Canopy, the home for buying better. Founded in 2021, they soft launched in May 2023 and officially launched in September 2023. Currently, their biggest focus is on building the communities of both vendors and customers, and combined, they are currently at over 30,000 people. Hello, Hugo.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
Great to have you back. Super excited to share with everyone what you're up to, both practically and theoretically, I suppose, but that will make sense as we get into our chat. But it's been 2 years since we last did an episode. So Hugo, how's it all going?
Yeah, great. So much has happened. So much in the world, so much for us. Yeah, I can't wait to tell you about it.
Okay, cool. So just remind everybody a little bit about who and what Canopy is. So what is the Canopy Marketplace?
Yeah, sure. So Canopy is the home for buying better. We're the only platform that completely streamlines the sustainable shopping journey. So bringing together thousands of trustworthy, verified products, learning and education, and accurate ways to track your impact over time. Bring it all together under one roof or under one canopy, so to speak. So we do all the research and rigorously vet thousands of products to assign our accreditations. We built all these sort of gamified educational swaps, guides and blogs to help you see what simple changes you can make. But yeah, on that final point there around tracking your impact, we built an industry first powerful calculator to basically help you see the impact of your basket and track that over time. So the CO2, the plastic and the water waste you can save by choosing our eco-friendly alternatives.
When you say track it over time, you're not just tracking the purchase impact, you're tracking the over the you using it over the lifetime of the product as well.
Yeah, so what we do is because it's based on savings, we actually look at life cycle assessment data for the kind of mainstream versions of that product. So for instance, if you buy one of our reusable water bottles, you're actually comparing the life cycle of that bottle compared to, you know, all those single-use bottles that you would use as per research on an average over that lifetime of that product. So that's a heck of a lot of plastic, but also CO2 emissions because plastic is actually made from oil and gas. So yeah, it's kind of looking at the whole life cycle of products that we sell.
And you're doing a huge amount of work to vet not just the people, you know, the companies selling on the site, but the individual products as well. I think we talked about that last time, but that must still be a huge amount of work, even though I'm sure you've optimized the process over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's something that we're like really proud of. And it's kind of really the bedrock of the whole platform. Thomas, my co-founder and our CEO, he has an MSc in sustainability from University of East Anglia, which works with the Tyndall Centre for Climate Research. And so it's incredibly important for him, but, you know, for me as well, just as a marketer who's, you know, passionate about sustainability, that we're building these things into the very foundation of what we're doing. So that was kind of felt like much easier to do from the get-go rather than sort of tack it on afterwards and sort of not worry about it for now. We felt that's incredibly important for consumers as, you know, awareness grows and people are more discerning when it comes to sustainability and ethics. But yeah, it's a lot of work that we do, and it's kind of, in a way, it's a great moat for us because we know that even the kind of platforms that call themselves ethical, you know, marketplaces, a lot of them don't do that work and don't actually ask for evidence. So it's something that we kind of are very proud of.
It's one of the most, as a consumer, as well as someone who works in our industry, it's one of the most confusing parts of the sustainability piece. Is, I'm sure the audience listening have heard me before say this word sustainability is almost redundant because it means, it's as useless as the word e-commerce in that it means so many different things to so many different people. And that, when it comes to selling products, becomes a real trust issue because we have greenwashing and we have all these different elements. And then we have people who care more about water versus carbon versus methane versus biodiversity and all the rest of it. Are you finding, because obviously, you know, clearly Canopy exists to try and cut through a lot of that mess. Are you finding consumers reacting positively to the clarity you're able to give them?
Yeah, it's kind of the one of the things that is absolutely consistent every time we talk to customers. They just go, look, I trust you. Like, I can see proper clarity on, like, is this vegan? Is this plastic free? And it's not just, you know, this is 90% plastic free or this is vegan because they say there's no animal products in it. Like, that's not enough. And we're entering a time now where we need to have higher standards. And so we see ourselves as like trying to be a bit of a force in the market as well and try and push that in the industry. I mean, I've worked in government, you know, in my past life. Thomas, our CEO, worked for Greenpeace, you know, pressuring governments and other large organizations. So we kind of came from that perspective of like, we want to create change in those places we worked. You know, our CTO, Abra, worked in banking and fintech. And, you know, he's seen like, you know, these huge organizations and how they get away with it. And it's like, you know, that is something that we're pushing for. But yeah, absolutely. We're seeing a huge shift in the market and in sort of consumer behavior and towards a really great thing, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's... Next question, before I waffle on about something else, is I would imagine that that marketing method appeals to the consumers who already get that they need to be sustainable and they need to be making better decisions. And obviously you're very much in the early stages of Canopy, so I would imagine they're the people you're going after first. Are you finding it's appealing to a more general consumer who's not so well up on working these things out for themselves? Are you finding it's appealing to the mass market as well?
I think, you know, there are different levels, there are different expectations from different customers. Some customers, you know, they just want to see, oh yeah, you've done the work. They won't kind of look further into it, which is fine. You know, if that suits them, that's fine. The important thing for us was just having transparency. So, you know, no matter who you are, you can go and see, you know, if it says vegan, these are the things we accept and this is what we need to see. you know, ultimately, if you're even more hardline than that, for, you know, I don't know how you could be more hardline than, you know, getting Vegan Society accredited. But, you know, if you were, then that's still your choice to decide not to buy that product. You at least have the information. But I think, you know, there's a wider point here around, we don't just talk about sustainability. We talk about the fact that you can reuse these items. That means you can actually save money over time. But generally also there's kind of an element of quality here as well. You're talking about investing in a product which is going to last you a long time, has been made with care. There's a lot of other factors which aren't just about kind of sustainability. And that's kind of like my job really, to tell those stories. Whether or not that's, you know, from toilet roll we sell is actually cheaper than a lot of like brand toilet roll. But it's also like, you know, there's more sheets per roll and there's so many other things there. It's like really soft. It's really lovely to use. So yeah, there's lots of kind of those stories to tell there, to tell all those customers who might not care about sustainability at all. You know, that's fine by me. If they're still supporting these great brands, then that's a win for the movement.
Couldn't agree with you more. I'm going to resist going off on my rant about 2-ply versus 3-ply and instead ask you about you mentioned there about the part of this shift to more sustainable buying habits being about choosing a higher quality item that will last for longer, that needs replacing less often in order to extend the lifespan of these products and get more of the resources that are used in them. That often creates a little bit more upfront cost. I think, you know, an obvious example would be period pants versus using tampons, etc., which, you know, a pair of period pants is a bigger investment than buying a box of tampons. Do you find in this current economic climate that consumers are willing to make more of those kind of higher price point payments now to save money over the longer term? Is that a message which is resonating with people?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, despite the cost of living crisis, the kind of ethical consumer market has continued to grow. And there are some really standout categories there, you know, green energy, electric cars, a huge, huge, massive growth there. But also, you know, people are prepared to pay more for items that are made more sustainably. And part of that is that they're looking to buy longer lasting products. You know, more than a third last year bought more secondhand clothing than the year before. And circularity continues to grow in popularity as well. So yeah, that is absolutely one way that you can actually save yourself money. It's kind of that long-term view. And, you know, we appreciate that's not the case for everyone. You know, some people can't afford to take that view. But we believe that, you know, it is, if you can make that choice, then that's absolutely a choice you should make. And that's not the only point, though, because, you know, there are lots of products on our site which are actually really competitively priced. Talking about toilet roll there as an example, but also our cleaning products, like a lot of them are actually cheaper than Ariel, than Persil. Like there are actually lots of those things there that maybe 10 years ago that might have been the case, that they're more expensive. But actually now, like, the prices are coming down and it's a lot more affordable. The final point there as well is, like, if you're willing to like make stuff yourself, like it's very easy to, you know, cleaning products is a great example there. And you can buy things in bulk. We've got a great vendor called Phil Refill. You can send back all the packaging. So it's completely zero waste solution. And, you know, a lot of these cleaning products are like basically what you get on supermarket shelves, but you can buy them in bulk, which again, that's another appeal. It's like, you don't have to buy your cleaning products for the rest of the year. But again, it's cheaper because you can kind of buy it in that large quantity.
Nice. Okay. Clearly, the sustainability, cost of living, etc. messaging is a big old complex piece that you are further down the line on the most. But another complex piece I know you've been dealing with is how to build the site, because building a marketplace is remarkably more complicated than building just a standalone site. And you've made some pretty fundamental shifts and decisions even since you did the soft launch last year. Could you tell us a little bit about the big decision you made and how you went about making it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're still using Shopify, but we started out with kind of standard out-of-the-box Shopify. But, you know, coming back to my point earlier about impact savings, and, you know, we built this calculator where it's a whole API and that links into Shopify and our customers can track it on their purchases. It's tracked on products, it's tracked for brands as well. A lot of that work to kind of develop that in the future, we knew that we'd come into lots of hurdles and limitations with the standard out-of-the-box Shopify solution. So we actually made the choice to go headless to their Hydrogen platform. And that just means that we can do a lot more custom stuff in the front end while still relying on the Shopify back end to do all the e-commerce functions. It was a scary decision because, you know, there's actually not a huge amount out there about kind of case studies, and, you know, we struggled to find people to talk to who had the same situation. But ultimately, I think it worked out really well for us. You know, our CTO, Abra, has ultimate control over the site and can kind of do a lot more with it. And like I say, we can kind of do so much more with that impact calculator, you know, really helping tell that story through every part of the customer journey of that this is the positive impact you're making, you know, CO2 emissions, plastic waste, water waste you can save, showing the equivalence of those, you know, showing all these things in different ways. And that just wasn't going to be possible in the way that it was set up. So yeah, it was a big change, but I actually don't have any regrets really. But yeah, it was a lot of work went into doing that. And, you know, you're still running a marketplace, which itself is a beast.
I love that you've just kind of run us through that, because I think I have a love-hate relationship with the phrase headless, because I think there's been an awful lot of buzz about it. But as you said, there's not that many case studies or examples that the users are in love with. And I think often it's ended up, people have gone headless when they really, really didn't need to. So for anyone who's currently weighing up a headless or a site move at the moment, anything you would they particularly need to know about before they go down that headless move?
I think, you know, as with anything in tech, it's just the scoping. Just spend so much time scoping, because, you know, we did scope a lot, but ultimately there are always things that come up that you don't expect. And, you know, there were things that came up that we didn't expect, and there are weird quirks. And I expect that's, you know, Shopify working things out as well. Like, it's a fairly new product, Hydrogen, like only a year or two old, I think. But for us, it worked out well. You know, I think the benefits outweighed the cons, and be happy to talk to anyone who's sort of thinking about it. But we heard some horror stories from exactly that. You know, people weren't ready for it. People didn't have the development resource to, like, you know, actually develop the site. And in a way, I do miss just being able to drop into Shopify editor and just tweak stuff. But at the same time, you know, I don't, that's not the best way to do things sort of on the fly, and that can lead to their own problems. So I think it's a more intentional solution as well in some ways.
I guess that there's pros and cons with both, and you just need to know what they are, don't you? That's the key thing.
Yeah, that's the big problem with tech, isn't it? You just don't know sometimes. Some of these things are unanswered.
So true. Okay, cool. And thank you very much for that offer to chat to anyone who's currently mulling it. I'm sure you'll get a few people getting in contact with you on that one.
Yeah, and Shopify. If anyone listening from Shopify, we'd love to just chat, because, you know, I think we're very happy to be a bit of a guinea pig in a case study and, you know, try new features. We are currently sort of trying to have a chat to some of the team there. So fingers crossed there, but yeah.
Loving that. Using the podcast to attempt to get on more coverage of Shopify, more help from Shopify. Love this. Good use of the interview time, Hugo. Really, really, really do like that. Okay, so you're also still making loads of fast changes. Obviously, you know, you're still, as we're recording this, you're still in year one of actively full-on trading. One of the things I was quite surprised, I suppose, to see you launching fairly recently was a whole B2B sales channel. So selling to businesses rather than selling to consumers for their toilet paper and office cleaning product needs, I suppose. What led to that? Because that's quite a big thing to be launching.
It was just, you know, it just made sense to us. A lot of the vendors that we work with sell B2B anyway. They have wholesale products. A lot of the products that we sell anyway could just be bought by businesses. It actually was sort of really instigated by a conversation we had with an investment fund. And, you know, they're saying, you know, we prioritize sustainability, that includes office supplies. But right now, you know, we're just going to Ocado, you know, just these, you know, we don't have like a beyond like procurement system. And, you know, we're just ordering things that are, you know, or going to the shop. So we were like, well, you know, if we can sort of solve that problem for them and just give them a place where they know that things have been verified, we can actually give them like an impact report, which is totally within, you know, it's easy for us to do, and if that provides value to them. So it's kind of hitting their ESG goals and commitments while also just sort of removing those barriers of like going, oh, is this actually sustainable? So really, you know, we're still building it out. There's still loads more we want to add to it, but there's a huge variety there already, from cleaning to, you know, period care to clean, you know, self-care products, soap and body wash and that kind of thing. So yeah, there's a big variety there, but it just kind of made sense. And, you know, it's not a distraction from our business model. So many routes that we can go down that canopy around sustainable living. And we've always kind of kept our focus on e-commerce and solving this problem for consumers. So we didn't want to get distracted, but this felt like, well, this is not a distraction. This is exactly the same thing, but for businesses. So yeah, it's just something that made sense.
And I think with that impact report part that the business gets as well, for all those businesses going for certifications and fitting in with legislation, which is only going to increase over the next few years, to have all those kind of bitty things you buy for the office or buy for the warehouse or buy for your hotel or whatever, to have that all coming from one place with a statement to fill in your carbon forms or whatever they may be, just a no-brainer, really. I think you may look back on it and think, wow, that was such a genius move.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, we'll be including other great things in that report, you know, just news about what's happening in the sector, you know, interesting research, things like that. So, you know, it's definitely something that we wanted to give a bit of value. It's kind of the stuff we do already. You know, we do this for our vendors, you know, give them useful information every month. We're really kind of just trying to be that force for good in the market and, you know, do our role as the platform.
Well, look, Hugo, I've just asked you about a whole load of stuff that I find fascinating about what you're up to. But for you, what's the most exciting thing going on at Canopy at the moment from your perspective?
There's a whole load of really exciting things we've got coming up, but also recently launched. We've recently launched a kite mark for our vendors. Totally makes sense to do this because they've already gone through our vetting process. They've already provided all this evidence. So we kind of felt like, well, we need to, you know, why not show that and actually let them have a mark, have an icon on their site and on their products to show, you know, they've been verified by Canopy. So it's been great to see that pop up all over the internet. We've also been working on a really exciting Innovate UK project. So basically looking at the platform, building in more gamification, building in more rewards, really building Canopy into a platform for sustainable living, not just sustainable shopping. So that's looking at our swaps feature. We've got a whole section on the site already, which helps you look at different rooms in your house, you know, your cleaning sponge in your sink. You know, what's so bad about that? Why is it, you know, something you should swap? And what are the alternatives you can buy on Canopy? It's kind of building that into more of a rewarding system and actually giving people badges, giving people points that they can use to get rewards. So that's a really exciting sort of project that, you know, we know we need to lead with the carrot, not the stick, and encourage people to make sustainable decisions. So this is kind of a really concrete way of doing that. And some, you know, just something that we've always wanted to do. Making the platform really fun has always been just like part of the mission, sort of from the beginning. It's like, okay, so we've got the kind of shopping element, but like, how can we make it fun? How can we make it educational and tell these stories throughout the journey? And the last thing we're doing that's really exciting is we're working on a really great campaign around Mental Health Awareness Week, which is in May. So talking about the link between nature and our mental and physical well-being. So working with some of our great brands and some great creators. So it's really nice to actually be developing like a bit of an ambassador program. So working with some really cool creators, and there's some more, you know, in the works as well. But also then like working closely with our brands, that's something we've been wanting to do more and more. So we've been kind of working on these little partnerships here and there, and some bigger ones, some smaller ones. So that's really exciting because we get to sort of work with some of the coolest sort of brands in sustainability right now, making products that we love. So that's really exciting.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Shopify recently turned the tables on me and took me from interviewer to interviewee. Knowing as they do that the most successful retailers today are those that bridge the gap between online and offline and make it a seamless experience, Shopify wanted my thoughts on how to achieve truly connected commerce, particularly in the key areas of local selling, omnichannel selling, and cross-border selling. You can read my thoughts along with other commerce experts from Germany, France, Spain, and Italy by visiting ecmp.info/Shopify and downloading the report. That's ecmp.info/Shopify.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Hugo, are you ready for the top tips?
Absolutely.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
I'm a little bit biased working in sustainability space, but Do Purpose by David Hyatt is fantastic. It's a great reminder of the power you have as a smaller brand versus the big brands.
Yeah, oh, that sounds good. I like that. Small brands rule. okay. I still love you, big brands too. Traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
So a bit of both is email. Like it's so unsexy, I know. And not a huge amount has changed over probably, you know, 20 years. But, you know, it's been something that's just consistently performed so well for us. And it's a really direct connection with our audience. You can kind of use it to tell a story. It's not so sort of just scrolling past. So yeah, it just feels really valuable and we're seeing the results from it.
I agree that email's important, but I do not agree it's not sexy. I think email's still so sexy. So
I guess there's not a lot new to talk about all the time, which, you know, the internet loves. You know, they love to talk about the new algorithm change or this, you know, this thing that will change marketing forever. So I think that's why, you know, it doesn't sometimes get the talking up it deserves.
No, it frequently doesn't get the talking up it deserves. I completely agree with you. The tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
I can't say this is a hugely niche tool, but I've been loving playing with Midjourney recently. It's really important for us to visualize the impact of things, and that can be really hard to communicate. So I worked on some really fun campaigns, one with City to Sea, a great charity around reducing plastic waste in the UK. So, you know, everything from visualizing thousands of toothbrushes to covering Big Ben in plastic bottles is something that would take me days, perhaps weeks to do in Photoshop. I can do in Midjourney. So that's really exciting. But I'm also incredibly scared about where AI is going. So a little bit pinch of salt there.
Yes. Yeah. For everyone who's wondering what Midjourney is, it's like ChatGPT, but for images, basically. Hugo, how do you reconcile the carbon footprint of creating images with AI versus doing it a different way?
So it's actually rather small. I've done a bit of research into this and there's a lot of research around it. So it's actually very small, and the energy of someone sitting in Photoshop for several hours is actually way more. So, you know, I think it's slightly overstated. I'm sure there's lots of cases where, you know, it could be higher, but, you know, in the ways that we're using it, it's really not it's not a concern.
So long as you're using it for something useful is what we're saying.
Well, you know, I think there's a conversation there around, like, everything we do is sort of for this, the wider movement and the greater good of sustainability. So, you know, if that means that you're buying a product which is better and you're choosing not to go to Amazon, then for us that's a win. So yeah, it's a similar mindset, I think, there.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's like with anything, if you're storing 100 versions of the same thing in the cloud, that's bad, but it's worth storing the one that's valuable type thing. And it's the same with all of these things. Before I go off on that rant, carbon top tip, please, Hugo, what's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce business?
I'd love to have an amazing little hack here, but honestly, the biggest thing we can do is renewably host and avoid Amazon at all costs, AWS. We made that decision really early on, and thankfully Shopify isn't hosted on AWS. However, you know, we also don't, you know, we've got our issues with Google in other ways and from an ethics standpoint. So, you know, there's no perfect answer, but more renewable hosting is like a huge change that you can make. And that's going to have the biggest impact.
Excellent. Nice techie answer. Thank you very much, Hugo. Appreciate it. And before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and Canopy, whether it's that they want to come and get some advice, whether it's that they want to come and buy products from you, or whether it's because they want to get listed?
Yeah, so you can find me on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect and have a chat. And Canopy, CANOPEY.com. Come find us. You can sign up for an account, but also talking about businesses, you can just scroll down to the footer and it says sell with us. You can check out a deck to learn more and then get in contact. But it's super easy to sign up. And if you're on Shopify, you can just link up your store very easily once we've vetted you. Canopy on social media, it's Canopy UK on every channel. So yeah, come find us.
Brilliant. So everyone, that's CANOPEY.com to find out everything the Canopy team are up to and buy and get listed and all that kind of good stuff. Hugo, thank you so much for being on the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. We must not leave it a whole year before we catch up with you again. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Always lovely to catch up with members of the Canopy team. I love what they're doing, especially on the kind of like the theoretical side of things. But before I get into my takeaways from this session, They also have a code for you. So if you want to use Canopy to buy products to reduce your carbon footprint and to make those changes, whether it's for your business or for yourself, you can get 40%, that's 40% off your first order by using the code MASTERPLAN. Simple as that. Just go to canopy.com to take advantage of that. So what are my takeaways from this episode? I think one of the things I'm constantly grappling with is how we get consumers to change their buying habits to become more sustainable. And I think one of the cool things that Canopy's doing for the industry really is becoming a case study of how to do that. They're kind of ticking all the potential boxes with cast iron verification of is this product good or not, with tracking the the impact of what you're doing across farm oil and carbon, with educational pieces, with the gamification piece, with loyalty, retention, all that kind of stuff. Really, really fascinating. So it's always great to get, especially Hugo's perspective, because he's the CMO on that. Very cool to talk a little bit about headless, because I know it's something which a lot of people kind of get blinded by and think they have to go down that route when actually it's not the right solution for them. If it is the right solution for you, it's great, but do your due diligence. And then really cool just to hear what they're up to and how they're evolving the brand. I really suggest following what Canopy's doing because they're doing some super fascinating stuff. You know, the diversification into the B2B selling, turning their verification process into a kite mark for their vendors. It's going to be really exciting to see where they go over the next few months and the next few years. You can get your hands on our notes from this episode, including those top tips and links to the things we mentioned by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast or use the direct episode short links. That's ecmp.info/episode number. Put that in the URL bar and you'll go straight to the correct page on the website. When you get to the website, why not sign yourself up to our email list so you're the first to hear about all the things we share to help you improve your business? And if you like this episode, then why not go back to episode 391, where we did our first catch up with Canopy, which was when they were still kind of an idea. They hadn't even put the first version of the website live. So that's well worth a listen. Thank you so much for tuning into this and every episode of the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners to succeed and thrive with their businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
Don't forget to download Shopify's new industry report featuring my thoughts on how to achieve truly connected commerce, along with other commerce experts from Germany, France, Spain, and Italy by visiting ecmp.info/Shopify.